Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Jeremiah chapter 23, begin in verse 9. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because of the Lord and his holy words. The land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land lies parched, and the pastures in the desert are withered. The prophets follow an evil course and use their power unjustly. Both the prophet and the priest are godless. Even in my temple I find their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore, their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness, and there they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished, declares the Lord. Now, continue over to verse 15. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water, because from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from my mouth, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Folks, to me, verse 22 is one of the most astounding verses in Scripture. Because what God is saying is not just these prophets are false prophets. These prophets have lied, saying that God told them to say this. But God's saying, I would have been willing to speak through them if they had come to me. If they had listened to what I had to say, if they had looked at what I have already said. That's why it says, seen my word, heard my word. God says, I would have spoken through them. They could have spoken my word if they'd been willing to receive my word. But because they were unwilling to receive the word of the Lord, what they proclaimed was not his word. And Jeremiah deals with this at great length, but this is kind of the intro to what I want to talk with you about today. What does it mean to hear from God? What does it mean to know what God wants you to do? How do you know? I mean, for goodness sake, when I read the Ten Commandments, I get a pretty good idea that there's some things in my life that are out of sync and need to change. All right? When I read the Sermon on the Mount, I'm even more convicted because I realize that I'm supposed to really love my neighbor, not just not kill him. Okay? And so Jesus ups the ante. He says, you know you're not supposed to commit adultery. I'm telling you, you're not allowed to lust. So, okay, that's clear. But what about knowing which school I'm supposed to go to when I finish high school, or what I'm supposed to do next. Should I take this job or should I take that job? That stuff's not in the Bible. Well, no, it's not. Well, so does that mean God doesn't care? No, it doesn't. Well, so how do I know what I'm supposed to do? Now, there's one approach that says you simply learn the principles of Scripture and then apply those principles. But there's another approach, and that says you're a sheep, he's the shepherd, he will guide you if you want to follow him. If you want to know God's will, you can. Let me suggest a couple of other scriptures we ought to look at. First of all, go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. Jesus says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If anyone chooses to do God's will, then he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. What does that mean? It means God is not trying to keep you from knowing and doing his will. The thing that keeps us from knowing and doing God's will is sometimes a matter of timing. We'll see more about that. But it's generally the fact that we're not ready to accept whatever God says. My experience with the Lord has been, and there are cases like this in Scripture as well, but my experience has been I often go to the Lord and I give him a couple of choices, you know, as if I've designed the menu and God is my customer and we got to work this out. And so I say, all right, these are the options, God, and you can have any of these you want. Okay, if you'd like me to do this, I'll do that. If you want me to do this, I'll do that. Which one do you want me to do? And God keeps wanting to order off the menu. Okay? As in something that's not on the menu. He wants to order something that I didn't plan, that I didn't envision, that I didn't ordain. Because God is the one whose ways are higher than our ways. And so he comes and he says, I want you to do this. And I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming at all. But it's not because God is unkind. It's because God's ways are kind. And our ways are based on very short-sightedness. So, sometimes when we look at it, it's hard to recognize. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. John 10, 27 and 28. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, verse 30. Jesus is saying, if we belong to him, he'll guide us. Now, I don't generally pray about what color socks to wear in the morning. I don't go and say, all right, Lord, I have so many colors to choose from. There's brown and tan and navy and black and white. And it's just too many choices. I can't make a decision. If I want to wear socks, I can pick any color I want that I have, if they're clean, okay? And that's okay. If God wants me to not wear socks or to wear a different color socks, the burden's really on God to make that clear to me. Because God knows that when I get up in the morning, I'd be paralyzed if I had to pray about whether should I wear socks today or not wear socks today. Lord, I just really don't know. Can you please show me whether or not... God doesn't want to have to do that, okay? He doesn't want to have to tell me whether or not to wear socks and what color socks to wear and should they be tall or short or in between. Okay? If God wants me to not wear socks or to wear a particular kind of socks on a given day, my job is to be willing to do whatever God says. God's job is to show me what he wants me to do. And God is so willing to show us what he wants us to do that he has spoken through all kinds of people on various occasions, and even through non-people. God has spoken on occasion through a donkey, through a burning bush. God has spoken through miracles and signs and wonders, as we read in the beginning of Hebrews. God has spoken in times past through all kinds of things, especially through the prophets. And he says, but now God's given us his final word, and his final word is Jesus. So if you really want to know what God says, look to Jesus, because he doesn't just provide an example, but he tells us something, and that is, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and he'll lead us. Oh, I'm glad of that. I am so glad. What a burden that lifts. Because I can count on him to guide me, because I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And sometimes God's plan is to leave us in a waiting mode until we hear. Let me give you an example from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, why would the Holy Spirit keep them from preaching the word in the province of Asia? I don't understand that. I bet they didn't understand why. They just knew that the Holy Spirit prevented it. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Okay, I'm sorry, this is really bizarre. They're out trying to preach the gospel. They're seeking to do a good thing for God. They've been sent out by God to bring the gospel. But they're about to go somewhere to share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit says no. And so they're like, okay. I think we ought to go over there. And they try and do it. And the Holy Spirit says, no. What? This is really peculiar, but keep reading. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And of course, when they went there, God gave them great fruit. So it wasn't because God didn't care about these people or God didn't care about those people. It's that God wanted them to go here next. And you can't go here next if you're there or there. Because of where God wanted them to go, they couldn't go where they wanted to go. But God didn't start out by saying, all right, men, the next stop, Macedonia. No, they had to go through a process of trying this and being disappointed, trying this and being disappointed, and then Paul gets a vision. The rest of them didn't, but Paul got a vision. The rest of them say, oh, God must not love me. I didn't get a vision. Why didn't I get a vision? How come Paul always gets the visions? They didn't need a vision. God gave it to Paul. Paul knew what to do with it. And that is, everybody get up. Let's get dressed. Let's get ready to go. We're going to Macedonia. Oh, really? How'd you decide that? I had a vision during the night. Well, tell me about the vision. Well, there was a man from Macedonia, and he was standing there, and he was begging us to please come help him. And so I believe that that's the Lord. That's what it says. They concluded this must be the Lord's will. And so they went and did it. And let me ask you, look at the chapter there. What's the next thing that happens? Ah, somebody gets converted. Lydia. And it's wonderful. And then, as Paul's continuing to try and minister and preach, there's a demoniac harassing them, making it most difficult. And when Paul casts the demon out of the demoniac, he gets arrested and beaten and thrown in jail. Oh, well then I guess it wasn't God's will for them to go to Macedonia. Yes, it was. It was. The book of Philippians is written to the church that grew out of this missions trip. It was God's will, but oftentimes God's will includes not only blessing and fruitfulness, but also difficulty. And that's okay. And we need to do what they did when we encounter difficulty as we seek to be obedient to God. They gave praise and worship to the Lord even in the middle of the night as they're sitting in a Philippian jail. Sometimes, when we are asking God, what am I supposed to do? God will say, this is the way, walk in it. And sometimes we'll say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? It's like, I'm not getting an answer. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. What do you want me to do? Not getting an answer. Now, some people will tell you, that's because God doesn't speak anymore. He's given us his word, and he doesn't speak. There is a real debate going on among evangelicals right now. It just saddens me because it's people veering to two extremes. On the one hand, you've got folks who feel that because the canon is complete, because the Bible is complete, God no longer speaks to his children. Don't seek a word from the Lord. Don't try to hear from God. Just read the Bible and then that's it. The only way God will speak to you is through his word. Now, of course, some of the ways that people do that is kind of mystical. Like, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to open it up and put my finger down like that, and that's God's word to me. There are Christians who say, I don't believe that we get anything apart from Scripture, who will engage in basically superstition trying to get guidance from God, just from the Bible. Okay? In the Old Testament, when God's Spirit was not dwelling within us as one with us, which we read about in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, God gave guidance to his people and said in the passage we read from Jeremiah 23 that God would give his word through people who were not good people, if they would just listen. If that's true in the Old Covenant, how much more in the New Covenant? Where God's Spirit dwells within us and is one with us and we are one with him. Does that mean that believers now in the New Covenant with Jesus living by his Spirit in our hearts, that means now we always know instantly everything we are supposed to do? No, in the Old Testament there were times when Jeremiah, for example, was asked to seek direction from God, and it took days before he got a response. Was God making up his mind? No. God already knew, but God waited a while to tell him, because he can. And it didn't matter a whole lot because the people weren't going to do what God said anyway. Because they didn't, even though they said they would. But in the New Testament, we have this example from Acts 16 where they were seeking to do God's will. Be clear about that. That's the first requirement. They were seeking to do God's will. If you're not seeking to do God's will, we already saw when we studied the book of James, don't expect to receive wisdom from the Lord. But if you are seeking to do God's will, God will give you wisdom. He will give you direction. He will guide your steps. You can count on that because God promises that. But he's not working on our schedule. Okay? We're saying, well, I'm sorry, but I need to know by Tuesday. Why? Well, because if not, then that's going to take this option off the table. God says, well, I can live with that. Okay? Yeah, but I'm supposed to be wanting to do your will. That's right. Okay, never mind. Your timing is perfect. You see, we want to get it all down where we've got, make it simple for God. Back to the menu idea. God, listen, I have done the research, and I've narrowed it down. There are these two or maybe three options, and God, I'm willing to do any of these three things. And God says, really? I get to choose? That's not the way it works. God says, I want you to be willing to do anything. Go anywhere, at any cost. And if you're willing to do anything, then I will guide you by telling you as much as you need to know when you need to know it. Between now and then, do what you do know you're supposed to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will for you, and you know it.
Oh, but it's hard to rejoice in the Lord and give thanks in all circumstances when I don't know what's going to be happening next month.
Who knows what's happening next month?
Well, I do. I'm starting blah, 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 blah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You could have a stroke, rupture a disc, get hit by a car, have a tree fall on your head, all kinds of things that could alter your plans. Here's what I want you to understand. None of us knows what's coming tomorrow. None of us really knows what's coming today. But God does. And so you can rest in the fact that he will tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. Corrie ten Boom, the marvelous godly lady who survived Nazi concentration camp and spread God's love and hope around the world afterwards. Corrie asked her father before the persecution came, I'm not certain, Papa, that I have the courage to face persecution. He said, Corrie, when you go to visit your aunt, when do I give you the ticket? Do I give it to you a week in advance or days in advance? And she said, no, Papa, you buy it at the station and give it to me there when it's time to get on the train. And he said, that is the way it will be with the Lord's provision. You will have what you need when you need it. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming today. But God does. And so our job is to seek the Lord. God says back there in Jeremiah 23, if they had stood before me, if they'd waited on me, I would have shown them. Are you willing to seek the Lord? To wait on him? To do his bidding and to say, God, you show me what you want me to do. You tell me where you'd have me to go. I want to obey you. If you want to obey God, God will take care of the rest. As long as you're willing to obey God in all things. Okay? But if you're willing to lay it down and say, God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm going to do as much as I know and leave the outcome to you. God will honor that. You're one of his sheep, and no one can pluck you from his hand. He has given you eternal life, and you're his forever. That is something I find tremendously encouraging.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.